we continue our worship, please turn to hymn number 230, Saved, Saved. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 261, Trust and Obey.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus. According to the Scripture, He is the High Priest, the one who receives our prayers, the one who takes our prayers into Thy presence. And Father, because of what You said in the Scripture, we pray in His name. And as a church body, we bring this congregation and we bring this service into Your presence, so that the things we do, the praises to God, the reading of the Scripture, the preaching of the Word of God, will be all to Thy glory and will be done in obedience to the command of going out and preach the gospel to every creature. We are more than delighted, Father, that not only we are blessed as we worship here physically in this place, but also through the stations KKMC, KKXX, and Father, how blessed we are that actually physical stations broadcast this service to thousands of people twice a day today on Sunday. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity to share the gospel. And then, Lord, we are also praying for those that through the internet are listening across the nation and across the world. And Father, we also are blessed with missionaries in our church. We do have Fred and Carol Lewis in Ukraine. Father, we have Carl and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain. We have Eusebio and Maritza Perez back in home again to start another 4 years of work there in Benalmadena in Spain. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, Ruth Ruben and Irene Zachert in Lodi. We have the Sport Association here in San Jose. Marta Poretti working in the fields there in Argentina with the drugs addicts. Laura Dani working with the people in the race cars, and now soon working with in Atlanta to make a concert so that the people in the, not only the cars racers receive the chapel, but everybody in the stadium there will receive the gospel. Thank You, Lord, for the open doors that You has given us through these men and families. They share the same gospel we believe, that Jesus saves. That's the key. And Father, thank You for being the one who empowered that gospel into our life. We are like rocks. We don't want to hear anything spiritually. But Father, You overcome us, and You has given us the victory through Christ Jesus. And now we believe. We thank You, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that every pastor in this area, wherever denomination they are, that You may bless them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that You may bless them with an outstanding sermon so that people may be turned to Christ and become saved. Give us a nation of God in which we fear God. Give us a nation that glorify God from the government down to the citizens. And Father, we need the preaching of the word if people are going to glorify God. And we pray for pastors to stand strong and preach the word of the living God. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to serve You the whole day. And as our brother had mentioned, all the meetings and the meetings to come with the ladies, Lord, how wonderful it is that as a church body, we are busy in the business of God. And we pray that You will give us the strength through the day. Many of the people come from far away to meet with us here. And we pray for the children, for the families, that they may enjoy this day in Your presence. And that those who are visiting us today, they may have the comfort of receiving the word of the living God into their heart. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us through Your word. And thank You, Lord, that You have not only blessed us through Your word, but also blessed us physically, emotionally, mentally, sociologically, and financially. And thank You for the support that people give to this church. Lord, last week we have Anthony Laurel in the hospital with a very delicate surgery. And Lord, I have been there and the surgery place, and we pray. And we pray that You, who are the sustainer of life, will give Anthony an opportunity to leave so that he may hear the word of God again. And Father, how wonderful we had the news that he not only survived the surgery, but he is doing well and soon perhaps will be home. So Father, Thank you that you answer prayer. Thank you that you gave people an opportunity to listen to the gospel. And I pray for him and for his wife as they listen to my prayer, that the only Savior and the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ our Lord. Regardless what denomination we are in, regardless what is our flag, the real Savior is the one who we have been named in the Bible, Jesus our Lord. Help us to proclaim him forevermore. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. Bless the offering, bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. You may be seated, please. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you, and we want you to know that we love you, and we bring this service to you because of our love. We love the Lord Jesus. We love everything we do here in our church because we want you to know Christ. And knowing how tough is life, and knowing how difficult is life, we want you to know that our church is ready to serve you. Please, if you have any questions or prayers or so on, call the church office. If nobody is there, there is a phone number that you can call me. And sometimes I'm driving, sometimes I'm in the radio station, sometimes whatever business I have that day, you can reach me. And we can talk a few words so that I can pray for you and be your pastor regardless of where you live. I want to serve you. I want to be a shepherd that cares for you. May God bless you. May God bless the service. Let's join the service in progress.
I found a friend who is all to me.
Choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 711. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and excess of sinfulness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your great mercy that while we were guilty and helpless, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to rescue us from the wrath to come in the day of judgment. We come before you now in his name. As we consider the scripture, we thank you for the mirror of your word that reveals our true character to us and shows us the need for grace that can only come through Jesus Christ. We pray that you would strengthen us through the Holy Spirit, that we might not only read and listen to your words in scripture, but grant, Father, that our conduct would demonstrate obedience to your word. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings light in the exposition of the scripture, that you would give us understanding, that we can be doers of the word, and that any listening who are yet in unbelief would believe the truth and be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And before we meditate upon the word of God this morning, I just want to mention the church has a bulletin out, and inside there is an insert about the women's ministry. And I know they have voted the new officers. And tomorrow is the launching of a new year's of activities for the ladies. They meet right here at church. And I hope you can make it and make a commitment this year. I'm going to be a part of the ladies' ministries and enjoy the Bible studies and the activities of the ladies. And I just mentioned to you, so those who are available will use the advantage that this church provide for the different meetings. Faith is an every day, every minute, every hour, every month, every year way of living. It is the life of God really manifested in your life. Now, the enemy of our soul will like to destroy us. But our Heavenly Father does not want us destroyed. So He has made available to us means by which we can have a victorious, outstanding Christian life. If we are going to be successfully fighting this fight of life against Satan, it will be to our advantage to know how to recognize the enemy, where he's coming from, and what his tactics are. This is practically in every field of life. When I was a soccer player, we don't have the video cameras we have today. And the coach will film the stadium where we're going to play in the grass so that we know how far our feet can be strong put on or not. We have to know the enemy every way. Even a psychologist will tell us how these players think and how the other player think, so that we know when he got the ball what he's going to do with that ball. I'm going to take three Sundays, which already have one in the past, about faith's greatest enemies. What we will be studying are not the only enemies of our faith, of course. They are simply the big ones. And I'm sure of these two. If you can handle these three enemies, then the other enemies will be completely immaterial. Our first and foremost enemy of the Christian faith is ignorance of the Word of God. Last Sunday, and you do not have the sermon, to ask for the sermon or for this church produces, and it's free, so that you study that. Number two is this: failing to act like God's word is true. That's the second enemy of the Christian faith. I repeat the title, even though it's written in the bulletin: failing to act as God's word is true. Now, what do I mean by that? Just what I said. We say we believe the Bible. We say the Bible is the word of God. In other words, if God saith, we believe it, and that settles it. Is that right? That's the way we believe. Now, the reason I'm making a point of this is that I want to show you how people can be sincere and sincerely wrong and be destroyed even though they may intend to do what is right. And I want to show you from the scripture today. Here is what I mean by failing to act like God's word is true. Turn your Bible to James 1, as a brother read it, in chapter 1, in verse 25, page 711 in the Bible that is in the pew. You say you believe the Bible. That means you are doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at what James 1, 25 says. But whose looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You see that little sentence? Being but a doer of the work. If you believe it and then do not do it, that looks like you do not believe it. That's it, not. I say it again. If you believe it and then do not do it, that looks like you do not believe it. You say you believe God. That means you believe His Word because God and His Word are one. You cannot divide God from the Word of God. God and His Word are one. The same principle holds true for everyone else you come in contact with. If I tell you something and you believe it, that means that you also believe my word because I and my word are one. If you believe God's word, you should then have no hesitation to also do what His Word says to do. That's very important. Believing everything God says in His Word about you and your circumstances include acting upon His Word, just like you act on the word of anyone else you believe in. I was surprised when President Bush, the one that we have now in power, took office, he prayed. And the Mercury News have on the first page, and I had that page at home, saying, we are in danger because the president prayed and he believed what he prayed. You know, that's Satan. Satan like you to pray. And as long as you don't believe it, that's fine. Let me give you an example. Suppose you are 17, 18, 19 years old, gorgeous girl, and you want to get married, and you say, Pastor, pray. And there are people who call me, pray for a boy. I said, how do you like it? Blue eyes, blonde, long legs, short legs, whatever you want. I pray. And then they marry an unbeliever. So why they ask me to pray? You know what I mean? So I'm going to, this is a long sermon. Actually, it's a six-month study I have in Pembroke School of the Bible on Be Real is the title. So I took three excerpts from my study to bring it to you this morning. And I'm going to bring to your consideration three different areas of our life who are very, very important. So number one, let us consider our prayer life first. Now remember, be doers of the words and not hearers only. So let us consider our prayer life first. If you turn your Bible now to Mark Gospel, page 568, Mark Gospel chapter 11 and verse 24. If you use a Bible that is in the pew, it's page 568. Mark Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 24. Jesus is speaking. And look what he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, I'm very good in distinguishing present tense from past tense and future tense. That's very important. So I read the text again. Therefore, I say unto you, and he's talking to the disciples, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe ye that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Every contract has fine prints in it. And the fine prints means one thing, conditions. In other words, there is a part in the contract that says that if you do not do your part, the company will not do its parts or vice versa. There are conditions in God's word. Many Christians read over these conditions. They read the Word of God, but they never read the conditions. And I want to give you an example. James chapter 4 and verse 7, page 712, if you have the Bible in the pew. 712, James chapter 4 and verse 7. That's an example of God's condition. The Bible says in James 4:7, Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Most Christians will quote the verse in this way. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You notice what they do not mention? The first part, which is the small print, the conditions. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. They don't mention that. They said, you can resist the devil and will flee from you, which is a true statement. But they have conditions. If I do not submit to God, you can resist the devil all night and all day, and he will never flee because you are not meeting the conditions of the Word of God. Mark 11:24, you can turn the Bible, I'll get there in a minute, page 593, Mark 11:24, have conditions. Page 593. In the Bible is very clear. Therefore, Jesus is speaking, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When ye pray take place in point in time? I ask myself. When this really is real to me. If I pray right now, in this present moment of time, the time in which I am praying will not be Christmas 1999. It will be right now. That's what the verse says. Is that right? Here is the point. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. He does not say, feel like you receive them. Feel like you receive them. He said, he does not say, see that you receive them. He does not say, understand that you receive them. Look at the text again. He simply says, believe. You got that word? Believe that you receive them. If you believe the Bible, you will then act like what it says is true, including what it says in Mark 11:24. Also, if you believe you receive what you ask God for, that means you do not physically have it yet. That's true. Let us take the next step. Look at what Jesus said. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Now, that means you desire and need to be released when you pray. No after you pray, but when you pray, which would be at the moment you pray. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, at the moment you pray, you tell God like it is. Isn't that releasing ourselves? When you go to see a psychologist, you don't visit with him and shut your mouth and say, hi, hi. And then when you leave the office, you tell everything to the air. You just tell him what your problem is. And this is what God is saying. It's very clear. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray. Now, you will not have those things when you pray. Otherwise, the next part of the verse will be not true. Look at how the verse ends. Shall have them. And I add the word later. Shall have them is future tense. But the future is predicated in the present. The future will never come to pass until after the present have come to pass. And the present is that you have to believe that you receive them when you pray, no after. Not that faith. Now, how long, somebody asked me when I taught this in class, somebody asked me the question, how long after do we have to wait? Jesus does not say. It could be 1 second after you pray, or it could be 1 year later after you pray. That is not the important part. The important part is that you have to believe you will receive it, and before the shall have can ever occur. Some people ask me, they call me all the time, Pastor, pray for this, Pastor, pray for the other. Sometimes I'm driving, I can't do that at that moment, but if somebody called me for prayer, I stop. But I said to the person, are you going to believe what I said? They said, well, let's pray, let's see. Well, let's pray, let's see doesn't work for me. Because that's not the God of my Bible. Perhaps it may be technically like that, which is keeping your prayers from being answered. You just pray for voicing something without believing. So be doers of the works of the Bible. When you pray, you believe. When you pray, you believe. At the moment you pray, and then it's done. Now, secondly, let us consider something that is yours and mine. They just adjusted the bone. And it's giving me a hard time with saliva, they told me. But they torque the bad part because soon it's coming the final, but they want my face to be very skinny, they said. So I'm having time in releasing saliva because the balls here are hurting a little. Let us consider worry. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, page 715, if you're using that Bible there in the pew, 715. We talk about obeying God in prayer. And the only requirement is that little small print is you believe what you pray. Now, let's talk about worry. It's very typical. And we use these verses. Pastors use these verses. Somebody comes and says, Pastor, I have this problem. I have this and this. And in the last 6 months, my wife and I, have to worry about something personal, not between us, but between ministries and so on. And this verse hit my eyes. Look at what the Bible says. Casting all your care upon him. Him is God. For, said Peter, the shepherd, for he cares for you. Now, if it's a person that can write this a minute, it's Peter. Do you agree? If you know the history of Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he said these words. But if you know the history of Peter, who denied the Lord, who encouraged the disciples in John 21 to get a boat and go into the ocean and forget about God, and later on, Peter is sitting and having dinner with the Lord, and the Lord said, feed my sheep, and got Peter as the head of the whole movement. I tell you, if it's a person with authority to write, it's Peter. And he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, if you are trusting God, what are you worrying about? That's what I ask myself. You can worry about finances. You can worry about plans that you have. You can worry, you know, it's very natural. Let's face it. Uncertainties. But I said to myself, Gabriel, if you are trusting God, what are you worrying about? You know, it's very serious because worry is unbelief. Worry is the worst sin you can commit. It is lack of faith, and the Bible says that anything that is not of faith is sin. Keep your hand in Peter and move your Bible to Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Keep your hand in Peter, page 669 in the Bible that is in the pew. First, Romans 14:23 says, "And he that doubted is dumb if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you are trusting God, what are you worrying about? You have to have that kind of attitude if you are going to trust God and act like His word is true, really. If you are trusting God, you need to act according to His word. See, if you continue to worry, you did not cast all your care on God, and He will not touch it until you give Him the whole thing. You trust Him fully. Now, how am I supposed to do that? It's easy to preach. How am I supposed to do that? I mean, how am I supposed to cast all my care upon God? How am I supposed to do that? See, that's a good question. It is one thing to say, cast all your cares upon God, but how do you actually do it? How do you cast your husband or your wife upon the Lord? How do you cast your children on the Lord, or your job, or the manager who has been harassing you, of your finances? How do you do this? Let me tell you what I do. I pick up a block of a paper, 8.5 by 11, and sit down early in the morning, and at the top of the page, I write my cares, or sometimes I write my worries, sometimes I write my burdens. In other words, all the things that I am concerned about. Then I start listing all those things. I may need 2 pieces of paper, or I may need an entire block of paper. But I list all my cares as they come into my mind. I just write it down. When I finish listing all my cares, I rise from my desk or from the writing table. I take the list and walk over the waste paper basket. I stand over the waste paper basket and I said, "Lord, these are all your cares." And I open my mouth and physically release the paper. It goes into the basket. I say, "Lord, these represent my worries, my cares. This is it, Lord. It's no longer mine." Yep, and gone. Then I get up free. I made myself a coffee. Oof, why did I say that? See, I don't have the burdens anymore. Believe me. And therefore, I'm free. Two people at the radio last week said, "Pastor, you look younger every day." I said, "Thank you very much. That's what I try to." They mean, in spite of all the difficulties, you keep cool, said one lady. Why not? The Lord's going to take care of everything. I just told the Lord everything I thought. See, I keep going free. See, I don't have the burdens anymore, and therefore I'm free. It's not my burden. Somebody called me just this morning as I got to the office here, and I said, "I know you have a lot of burdens." "Really? I don't know anyone." "Oh," I said, "you know, these. "Oh, no, they're not mine anymore. I just wrote it down and give it to the Lord. He's taking care. Great things are going to happen." See, free people don't stay out the whole night worrying about it. How are they going to handle this and how are they going to handle the others? We stay out 3 or 4 nights 2 weeks ago. "We don't know what to do about this and the other." And I said, "I need to have a real practical solution. I'm going to use God as he said in his word. And he said, cast all your care upon me. I don't see God physically. I cannot phone him for 11 and say, God, are you there? Now, let me tell you. So I actually could use the basket and I say, here it is. It's yours. And goodbye. I'm going to serve him. See, three people can sleep the whole night because they had no troubled thoughts. Their minds are clear because they have no cares. And we are to do what the Word of God said. Cast all my cares upon me. Sometimes we do, but we're still casting the cares upon our life too. And we should not. We should say, Lord, here is this guy who is very difficult to me. Yours. Lord, here is my son or my daughter. Yours. And I have employees who are difficult. Say, Lord, yours. You know, the Lord take care. So let's be truthful about our life, acting upon the Word of God as is the Word of God is true in our prayer life and also in our psychological life. And now, let me close thirdly. Let us consider the Lord's will. A lot of people are worried about that. A lot of people say, oh, if it's the will of the Lord. Let's talk about it. The Lord's will. And let us turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, page 719 in the Bible, in the pew. The Lord's will. You hear a lot of people talking about the Lord's will. We read in the Bible, and this is the confidence, and that's 1 John 5, 14, that we have in him. That if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. You saw those words? According to his will. Now, the verse starts, and this is the confidence. Now, what does confidence mean? Confidence means assurance. When you have confidence in somebody, you can trust him and depends on him. This verse tells me that I'm supposed to have confidence in God to do what he says in his word. What is the problem? We are supposed to act like we can rely on God, depend on God, because in the letter of the Apostle John, he says in chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence, the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears me. Have you ever, ladies, talked to your husband and you notice he's not hearing you? It's very easy for Raquel even with me in the home, and I have a portable radio satellite computer on the side, and I see something coming up, and I say, oh, yeah. She said, stop it! And I stop it. You know, when a lady calls you like that, you say, stop. Turn off that computer. So I don't turn it on. They turn on by itself, and I try to argue. Don't argue with me. All right, don't argue. Look at 1 John 5, 15. And if we know that he hears us, if we know that he hears us, if you know the person you are talking hear you, look at what the verse said. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Wow, this is the Word of God. Now, if I do not ask anything according to God's will, God will not hear me. In other words, for God to hear me when I pray, I have to ask according to his will. Do you hear me? When I pray, if I want something to be done, I need to know God's will. And since God is the one who made the rules, and God is the one who requires me to ask according to his will, he obligates himself to make his will available to me. Because in verse 15, he said, if you ask according to my will, it be done. So I need to know his will. What do I do? Do I go to the store and buy a book on God's will? Where is God's will? Put one hand wherever you are in the Bible and look right in the middle on Matthew, when Matthew starts. My Bible said, the New Testament. Does your Bible say that? The New Testament. God's will is in His Word. In fact, it is called a testament. When a person dies, if she or he does things right, that person leaves a will and a testament. And the will are instructions for what to do with the deceased belongings. I have news for you. The Bible is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He tells us what He wants done with the things that belong to Him that He purchased with His own blood. You have been purchased with the blood of Christ. And He wrote a new testament so that you do what He says. Jesus not only made out the will, but He left the will to us. You have it right there in your hands. He died and then rose from the dead so that He could be the executor of His will in order to ensure that the will was carried out exactly according as He dictates, which is the Word of God. To get what is left for you in His will, you are going to have to know what the will says. If you want to get everything Christ left for you, you have to read the New Testament and you will know what Christ has left you. If you want God's blessing in your life, you cannot afford to be ignorant of God's words. Your ignorance will allow the devil to destroy you. Every Christian should make their business to know the will of God by reading the Bible. People go to the bookstore and they buy books on the will of God. That's what that guy says about the will of God. Just read the Bible. Read the New Testament. Why do I have to think about whatever God hear me or not in prayer? See, if I pray according to His will, I know that He heard me. The Word of God tells me that God hear me, and the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23 that God is not a liar. If the Bible says the God, the Creator, hear me, that's magnificent. So, what do we learn this morning? Well, we need to act according to the Word of God. If we say, this is the Word of God, and I believe it, I need to act according to the Word of God. I need to act in our prayer life. Remember, it's not after you pray, it's when you pray that you have to believe. So, if you are not ready to believe, don't pray. Then, in our daily activities, we need to actually trust the Lord in your finances and whatever. You just drop everything in His hand. And then in our decision making, we need to know His will. So how are we going to do it? Read it. So where do I start? Matthew 1, finishing up in Revelation 22. You find it. So, but that takes a lot of time. But listen, you're going to find God's will for you. The whole sermon in a nutshell, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The whole sermon in a nutshell, Hebrews 4 and verse 2, page 705. Hebrews 4, verse 2, the whole sermon in a nutshell. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. Not being mixed in with faith. That's the key. You have to mix God's word with faith to profit you. And let me close with an example. As I watch the freeway, as I drive here in 101, and I watch the trucks, when you see a cement truck going down the street, usually the part of the truck that is carrying the concrete always is turning. You saw that? You see those big giant trucks, and the part that carrying the concrete is always turning. If it is not turning, either there is nothing or it is because something is wrong in the mechanism. That is because the concrete, the trocary, is called transit mix in the language of engineering. Transit mix. And your language is being mixed in transit. From where the truck loaded up with water, rock, cement, and sand to the place where they are going to pour it out, the truck continually moves, so they mix the stuff, so when they come out properly. And the speed of the tumbling is according to the distance, because there's so many pounds, has so many minutes of mixing and so many minutes of this and this. So the engineer got the proper mixture and the proper endurance at the proper time. I thought myself, that's the way we should be with the Word of God in our life. We should be cement trucks that continually we mix the Word with the doing of God's Word. Anthony will be a cement truck. You know what? His mama said, come here, Anthony. And Anthony said, yes, mama. At that moment, the cement truck is gone. He's mixing the Word of God, because the Word of God said, children, obey your parents. It's mixing the Word of God. The wife said to the husband, it is time for vacuum. And he said, yes, darling. Now, why? Because the Bible says, you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. You see, it is a continuous mixing. It's a continuous mixing of what you know with the act. You cannot live as a Christian and say, I'm a Christian, just on the head. It has to be mixed with the feet on it. That's Christianity. That's the Christianity the America needs to see. I don't want people to say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm this. Forget what you are. Whatever you receive the Word of God, may God help you to put it in practice. And if you can, your life is going to change. My life with my wife will change. And as you grow older, more change in accordance to the Word of God. There is no retirement for Christian. You are a living cement truck. Mix the Word of God with action, and you will see solid concrete in your life. Thank you, Father, that we as Christians need to act upon God's word. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Help us, O God, not to be just hearers only, but doers of the work, as James saith. And when all is done, our life, want to glorify you forever and ever. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Father, we acknowledge that you and you alone are the one who can bless us as the song just we heard. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear you. And I pray that each one of us in our own world will take time to be serious about doing what we believe. Lord, help me. Help the deacons of our church, the teachers. Help the congregation. Help the congregation on the air just to reflect upon these words. Be ye doers of the work. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.